post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Why was the football player standing next to the heater?
I don't know.
Because he was warming up.
Boom, boom, baby.
That is humour.
That is humour.
On 2XX.
Okay, and welcome to the Near Post on this Tuesday night. And for the astute listeners, for regular listeners of the Near Post, you may have picked up that this isn't actually Eamon Flanagan. No, I am sometime fill-in Aaron Walker. Eamon's taking a bit of a break, so I'll be your host tonight. We've got a fantastic show. With me, as always, is Lucy Zellick and Michelle. How are you doing, guys?
Good evening. I'm very well.
Thank you for having us once again, hey?
Not a problem at all.
And, pretty excited the A-League starting again soon.
What have we got today? I know we've got an interview with Tom Samani, which Eamon gave me to put on.
That's quite exciting. I'm very thrilled to hear that he's teed that one up.
And I understand we've been reviewing all the A-League teams one at a time. So who have we got this week, Michelle?
We've got Victory, of course.
Victory, ah, the champions.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty fond of the Victories.
We'll be back with all that and more. I'll just put on Eamon's fantastic theme song. And Lucy, we've got to get ourselves one of these.
We do have to get ourselves one of these theme songs. I've been trying to drum it up, and for the life of me, I cannot get someone that's going to actually support us. But don't you worry, Cam Burns, I'm going to get on to you.
As soon as I can work out how to use the CD player. give me a break. I've only been doing this a year.
Michelle, are we very excited about talking about the Victory?
Oh, I am, actually. I am. I think the Victory should do really well this season.
You're thinking that they're going to take it out once again?
I think they should finish in the top four for sure.
Yeah, they're always the top four contenders, aren't they?
Good feeling, guys.
Here we go.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
That is great. I wonder who we got to do that.
I know, I'd really like to find that out, actually. Find someone that's going to be just as supportive to do something for our FARPO show, hey? Yep. Speaking of which, we've got FARPOs coming up this Sunday, don't we?
We do, and it's our turn again.
Oh, it is our turn again. It's come up very quickly.
It does. It just turns around so quickly these days.
Time flies when you're having fun, hey?
Anyway, Eamon told me we should start with a quiz. So he also gave me a question to give out. Well, he suggested a question, and I'm going to use it. So the question is, can you name five Scottish players in the A-League?
Oh, my gosh.
Does anyone want to have a crack? We'll start with you, Michelle. Can you name one?
Scottish, I have no idea. Oh, I'm going to have a... Oh, I don't think he's actually... Is he Scottish, though? Craig Moore? He played there.
No, he played in Scotland.
It's not... Well, give me a go there. That's quite a fair call on my behalf.
It's close, yeah. He was there 11 years. So that's a...
Yeah. So you could actually say that he is actually Scottish then.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that one. I'm going to go...
Thank you.
I'm going to go give people a clue. And there's one that's been at a Melbourne Victory since they started. And that's our feature team today.
Is he is one of our marquee...
He's not a marquee player, but he's been there since they started.
He's been there since they started.
Anyway.
Gosh. All right. We'll leave that with us to think about it.
Yep. Okay. And we're going to move on.
Is he still there, actually?
He's still just there. He's a foundation player. One of the few players that's been there since the start and is still there now.
Oh, ooh.
And I think that's key with the Victory, and they are a feature team today. They have kept with the core of a very good squad that they've had since the very start. They've had the very key players in key positions, and they've stuck with that. So, guys, the Victory, let's get on with it. Michelle, tell us about the Victory.
Oh, the Victory. Oh, well, I'm pretty happy with who they've got at the moment. They've pretty much signed all their good players back. Thompson, Vargas. I'm a pretty big fan of Vargas.
Oh, yeah, you can't go past Roddy Vargas, can you?
Except he's cut his hair.
Oh, he has cut his hair. He finally gave it a chop.
He did it for charity, didn't he?
I was disappointed about that, though.
Oh, really?
I did like his long hair.
Not about the cause, though. We'll give him that. If he did it for charity, that was for a worthwhile thing then. Absolutely.
And Matthew Kemp and Daniel Alsop. So I think that should be a strong scoring side.
Okay. Who do you see as the key players in the squad?
Well, I do have my favourites, which is probably Archie, Vargas, and I don't know, Alsop.
Yeah, who do you think? I was about to say Danny Allsop. He's Allsop, one of my favourites. I think he's one of those quiet achievers. Whilst he does really well, I think he also plays quite consistently, which is what the Victory are really good at doing. They're good at maintaining that consistency season in, season out, and they're always a team to watch.
I think you're right. I've got a friend who's an avid Victory supporter, and he tells me that he thinks Kevin Muscat, by signing up again, is running one too many. He thinks he's had his go, he's getting a bit old, and he should have gone after the championship and on a high and just left.
Finished on a high note, exactly right. And I think, like you said, he has had his day. I think basically he's not playing up to scratch as much anymore, and he's not turning out to be one of those pivotal players on the park, which is what they need and what they already have. So it is one too many, I agree
with you,
Aaron.
I've never been a big fan of Kevin Muscat, but
So I'll just run through the people they've lost over the offseason. They got rid of Steve Pantelis, who went to the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rican international Jose Luis Lopez, who was a very good player, but they didn't use a whole lot.
Why didn't they use him a whole lot, Aaron? Talk to me a little bit about that. What are your speculations?
He plays defensive midfielder, and they have about 50 of them in the squad. They've got Grant Brebner, who's a big favourite of Annie Merrick.
He's a very big fixture in there, isn't he?
Yep, and they've got a couple of other guys who play that position. They've got the young Socceroo fringe player Lee Broxham.
Mm-hmm.
Billy
mm-hmm.
Selesky plays in that position as well, albeit
Lee
very
Broxham,
differently.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He started out with the Phoenix, didn't he? Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong.
I am wrong. Well, who am I confusing that with? Who started for the Phoenix? Another young player. I think he started out actually at the Australian Institute of Sport. Blonde, shaggy hair. Can't think. I'm going to find that out. I was wrong.
I'm going to find that out.
I will definitely. I'm onto that.
Anyway, so I'll go on. We've lost Pantelidis to the Gold Coast, Jose Lopez. We've lost Sebastian Ryle to Sydney FC.
He was another young one, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was another young one, captain of the Young Socceroos. Mm-hmm. Michael Theoklotos, the keeper, and Michael Thwaite to the Gold Coast. Do we think any of those are going to be particularly big losses?
Theoklotos?
Yeah,
sure.
Probably he's the only one.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's been a big player for them a long time. Mm-hmm.
Theoklotos, and I do think that, look, you know, all theories and opinions aside, Steve Pantelidis and also Michael Thwaite, I did see them kind of involved in a lot of key plays made throughout the season. So I think that Michael Thwaite more so than Steve Pantelidis, but definitely Theoklotos. He's one of the biggest losses.
Okay. And now they have brought in Glenn Moss from the Phoenix, who is the New Zealand national team goalkeeper. He's just got back from playing in the Confederations Cup as well.
He was awesome in that last game.
He's a really, really good goalkeeper. Do you think he can fill the void? Or do you think
I think so. I was impressed from seeing him in the Confederation Cup.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, he did do very well, but they are very big shoes to fill into. So
I think he'll do fine. I think he'll do fine.
He was probably man of the match against South Africa in that last match.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And there is probably one person at the Victory who's not overly ecstatic with his capture, and that's the young goalkeeper who was in waiting, Mitch Langerak, who'd been number two to Theoklotos in a long time. When he saw Theoklotos go through the door, he was probably thinking his time was to step up and
not
become the number one.
Enough, but that's, unfortunately, that's not gonna happen. I don't think that he basically is up to scratch just yet.
Because when he has played, he's been very good.
But I still think he's got quite a long way to go in terms of development. So I think they've done well by bringing in Glenn Moss and not giving that opportunity to Langerak.
The 26 Moss, 20 for Langerak. So maybe you're right. The keepers do develop late.
More experienced as well. And you have to be experienced as a goalkeeper. I've seen with the A-League seasons coming up, you've seen so many mistakes made when they introduce these young keepers. For example, the Perth Glory are perfect for that. They brought in Alex Viteski, who I thought wasn't as strong as a goalkeeper. He's actually playing in Macedonia at the moment.
No, they've got him back.
They've got him back?
They've got him back,
No way. Yep. Match scandal.
Yeah.
Where did you find that one out?
In that big long thing that I sent to you that had all the ins and outs of the...
Which she does read.
I should do my homework instead of coming in here and trying to throw everything off the cuff. So they've re-signed him?
They have re-signed him,
But
he won't be the number one. The number one will be Vlaufi, who's a very good goalkeeper.
Tando Vlaufi, he's great, actually, he is. But, yeah, you can't make mistakes with the young, inexperienced goalkeepers.
And one guy I've got highlighted here is a defender, and he's been brought in from Thailand's Chonburi FC, and he's a Thai international. His name is Surat Suka. What do we think of this signing, guys?
Interesting.
It is very interesting, isn't it?
I'm always intrigued by the new signings because I think, great, we've got something to look forward to for the season in the way of we can see what they've got to bring to the table in terms of their overseas experience.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always happy to see more Asian players. players coming through. Of course, to the
me
A-League.
Too. Yeah. I was about to make that same point, Michelle, because what the A-League is yet to do, we see a lot of our players get poached by the Korean League, the Japanese League, the Chinese League, the bigger Asian leagues.
Yep.
What we're not doing is poaching the best players from the lesser tier Asian leagues from us, the Thailands, the Malaysias, the Singapores. We need to go down and pluck the gems from the leagues below us rather than taking the scraps off the English Premier League table and Championship.
Which is what we've been doing.
Which is what has happened, cough, cough, Robbie Fowler. But there's not much else that you can actually do about that. I mean, but continuing on with the current squad that we've got, I mean, what do you think, Aaron? Where are we going to fall with the Melbourne Victory for this season?
I think they'll start strong. By midway through the season, I expect them to be on top.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have re-signed the core of their very good squad, which for A-League standards is a championship-winning team.
Yep.
I think the Gold Coast might pip them in the end, though. The Gold Coast have an excellent squad under A-League standards. It's unbelievable. I can't believe.
Really?
Yep. I can't believe they fit it under. Can't believe they fit it under the salary cap because they've got so many really good players.
Wow. I see. I'm tracking back to our last show that we had, and I don't think I heard you actually made those predictions.
Really?
The Gold Coast were going to do well.
Yeah, they will
do well. I think they'll start out strong, but personally, I think they'll finish either mid to end table. No, I really do.
I'm of the opposite opinion. I think they'll start a bit slowly because they are just a newly established team. Newly established teams always take a while to gel, but once they get their act together and start knowing the way they play and get their groove a bit more, they'll come good in the second half of the season, I think.
I think that prediction will be right in a couple of years' time when they've become a lot more solid and well more established. Michelle, what do you think?
I agree with you that Melbourne Victory is going to start up pretty strong. But like last year, I think they sort of dropped a little bit towards middle, towards the end, and then sort of came back and took out the title. But yeah.
But in terms of the Gold Coast?
Gold Coast, I'm not sure about the Gold Coast. I think it's a new team.
I mean, on paper, they look good, like Aaron said. I mean, they look like they've signed the best key players in terms of the A-League, but
they've got a lot of squad fillers. But what I like the Victory, they have the core of a very good squad. They've got Kalina in the midfield running things. Their keeper, Jesse Van Stratten, they got from Juventus, is a fantastic talent. Yeah. Shane Smeltz, we know he's proven in the A-League. They've got three.
Shane Smeltz, I mean, what a signing.
Was that the same team that played against the superstars? The football superstars or not?
I don't know.
It wouldn't have been their full strength squad. No.
They beat Fulham recently, 2-1.
2-1 they did.
So, yeah, but Fulham didn't bring over their strongest side either. So I mean,
it was a good side.
It was a good side, but I still think that, you know, I don't think that it was that much of a victory, to be honest.
And they did play against Victory as well, Fulham?
Didn't they beat Victory? Yes, they did. They smashed Victory 3-0. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but,
and then I saw a couple of comments from the Fulham coach after the game, and he was saying, well, it's just pre-season. This is our first week of pre-season, so I'm not looking much into it. But then you look at the Gold Coast. The club's only been together a month. So it's hard to say that our guys haven't been training much when the Gold Coast.
Yeah, but we had the Central Coast Mariners come down and, you know, look at what happened there. And they played with a side that basically, you know, the Canberra side that only trained for a couple of weeks. They were players plucked out of completely different teams that didn't know one another very much. Mm. And, you know, we still managed to come away with that result by the fact that they conceded an own goal. So
you've got to keep
what
in mind,
does that say?
These Canberra players against an A-League side are playing the game of their life. They're thinking, oh, my God, I'm playing against an A-League side. This is my chance to get noticed. And so they're trying their hearts out. Fulham are on a holiday in Australia. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't care.
Exactly. Fulham didn't care. Okay. So we'll wait and see. The season kicks off next Tuesday, so we'll wait and see what actually happens there.
All right, guys. And now we're going to go to an interview with Tom Samani, which Amy left for me.
I'm looking forward to this one, actually.
He's over in America right now because he's got the young... He's over there looking at...
With the Young Matildas?
Actually, I think I made a mistake. I think he's over there looking at players that are actually playing in the American professional leagues, Australian players.
To perhaps try and poach them.
Well, not to poach them, just looking at the Australian players and seeing which ones are performing and which ones are not. I think we've got a couple of players over there. I don't want to mention names. It'll be all in the interview, and so we'll go to that now, and it'll be very interesting.
With all of them, it was fortuitous that Sarah Walsh and Colette McCallum were playing against each other in St. Louis during the week last week. And today, Heather Garriott and Lydia Williams for Chicago was playing against Lisa DeHanna for Washington. Chicago has a very experienced and actually outstanding Swedish goalkeeper. But Lydia has been a sort of understudy to her, and has a lot of, you know, outstanding training and learned a great deal from her. So she's not had a great deal of playing time. Heather has just come back from injury. We actually had her back home for about 6 weeks, trying to help her recover from a hip injury, but she actually played some of the game today. DeHanna played a full 90 minutes and looked quite electrifying, so she did very well. During the week, Clint McCallum played 90 minutes for New Jersey, and Sarah Walsh, coming back from a hamstring, played about 30 minutes for St. Louis.
You describe the American League now, Tom, as the premier women's league in the world. Is that right?
That's a very good question. If you ask the Americans, they would say yes. If you ask the Germans, they would say no.
Okay. I suppose I was thinking from the point of view of the more imported players into that league than any other league, but maybe that's not
true. Well, there is and there is. I mean, there's probably a better mix of world players in this league. You know, there's Japanese, there's Chinese, there's Brazilians, etc. And there's probably more money than there is in some of the Northern European leagues. But some of the Northern European leagues will probably feel that their pedigree and their credentials would make them the Premier League. So it's a very debatable point. Given our environment, I think our league does exceptionally well. Obviously, here, players are full-time, so you've got a full-time playing environment. You've got an actual professional full-time club, so you actually have staff that are running and putting the game on at weekends. You have a cast of thousands at weekends as volunteers and also workers putting the game on. So they've got a far greater infrastructure. The tempo of the game is high, but I would say that, you know, if we had three or four international players in each of our teams of high quality and had some of the resources that they've got here, our league would be very comparable. And the quality of some of our players is actually high. We tend to underestimate ourselves a wee bit in Australia. They've got more money. They've got a bigger playing base. I mean, you've got probably 2,000 or 3,000 colleges having full-time soccer programs producing players. Can you imagine if we had that kind of setup? You know, considering, you know, the structure that we have and the numbers that we have in comparison to the US, I think we do exceptionally well. I think the growth of the world women's game in general is going to head in that direction, where there's going to be more leagues and more options for players, and that players of quality are probably going to have a better chance of making a living out of the game. So I think going ahead, yeah, I think there'll be a chance that more of our players I'll be in the US. If we can do well in the world stage at the Matildas level again, then I think more opportunities will open up for more players. Katie Gill and Lois Coulthorpe in the European League this year, with Heather Garriott in the European League last year, and I think people will consider Europe again. But the reality is there's a bit more money in America. Yeah, the playoffs are coming up. There are only seven teams in the league this year. And unfortunately, losing today, Chicago, that has Heather and Lydia's team, won't be in the playoffs. But Devana's team's got a good chance to be there. And Sarah Walsh's team, St. Louis, has a good chance. And Colette's team, New Jersey, is in the mix as well. So there's kind of like four teams for the last three spots. All the players should be back for the W League. I'm actually coming straight back from the US. Got another plane the next day and heading out for their first game against Japan next Saturday. So they're in a group with China, Japan, and Chinese Taipei. It's going to be difficult, but we've actually got a very talented youth team. And if we can get through these qualifiers, this team will do very, very well in the Youth World Cup next year. The hardest part of the journey is actually getting through the qualifiers. They've got a tough draw with China and Japan, and only two go into the semi-finals. When you get into the semi-finals, you've still got to win another game, because it's the top three that qualify. And you get North Korea, South Korea, China, Japan, and ourselves, who are all very, very strong and talented countries.
All right, well, thanks very much, Tom. I wasn't expecting you to be in America, but there you go.
I don't know where you find me.
No, very excited.
From Perth Glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory.
Very good interview there. So, guys, we're going to come back and talk about some little tidbits of Australian football news that have happened throughout the week.
We love our tidbits, don't we?
We do love our tidbits. And one which we were passionately discussing during that interview was Nicky Carr. Now, apparently during the week he had a move blocked because he wanted to go and play in the South Korean League. Apparently he felt it was a more technical style of league. It suited his strengths a bit better. And also it fitted in with his potential Socceroos commitments a bit better.
You took the words right out of my mouth, because that's exactly what I was going to say. And he was amazing.
One of the South Korean teams put forward a bid. They wanted to take him on, but it got blocked by his club, Crystal Palace. They don't want to let him go. It was a bit of a valuation thing. I think they offered about $500,000. Crystal Palace wanted at least $250,000 more than that.
Ugh.
And So what do we think about this, guys?
I'm outraged.
You're outraged?
Outraged.
Would it be a good move for Nikki Carr to go to
Korea? Of course
it would,
because I was, like I said, this beautiful little song that I just sang you there. It's exactly, I think, Nikki Carr, he suits the Korean leagues, the J-leagues to a T, because he is so technically gifted and you can just see him doing so well out there. So I'm shocked, actually, that Crystal Palace actually blocked it, so, and disappointed as well.
I'm a big fan of Nikki Carr. I would have liked to see him play first division in Korea rather than second division in England.
Okay, so what do you think is the better quality league? Do you think the Korean league is better than the English championship?
Apparently, isn't the English league, second division league, the highest paid outside the first division?
Oh, God, you've got me there. I really don't know.
Yeah, that's quite a question. Maybe some more homework for us.
It is a really big profile league, the championship. They've got a lot of internationals, some very good players in there. And of course, the benefit is if you do well and your team can get promoted, all of a sudden you're in the English Premier League. And that would be something he'd forego if he was going into the
How did Crystal Palace finish, though?
They were in the running for the promotion for a long time. And I think towards the end of the season, they just lost out.
I did, I think, watch that last game.
They could have even made the playoffs. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
because they did have their fun in the sun, Crystal Palace. Mm. They were in the first division many years ago, and then, you know,
I remember when Nikki first signed for, I think it was Bristol City, it was his first championship side. And that really took me by surprise, because the championship is not a league which suits his style of play. No. I would have thought he'd have done better to go somewhere like the Spanish second division or maybe Portugal or Belgium or somewhere like that. He did go to Turkey. It didn't really work out for cultural reasons. I don't think his wife liked it there. But they just didn't settle. But yeah, I would have preferred somewhere like Portugal or somewhere like that would have really suited
him. Because that style of football suits him.
That's right. And the English championship is it's like Scottish football. Mm. It's rush and attack and run hard and tackle hard guys and bypass the midfield a little bit.
Maybe
I don't think it suits his
strength.
Not
so much the pace as well. Nikki's
He's
really
got a lot of pace.
Do you think?
I think he does.
Likes a little bit of pace.
Mm. I don't know. I'm going to say
third party opinion.
What do you think?
Flanked by two females.
I think Nikki's got the creativity.
He does have the creativity. Creativity, short
vision,
and that's right. Vision's
see.
A great word to use. Yeah. Mm. And what do we think about his spot in the Socceroos, guys?
I'm thrilled. I was just so happy
to see him. I actually was so excited when he got on.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I mentioned earlier, when we were off air, I was just actually saying I was so surprised that he was overlooked beforehand. You know, and why he wasn't pulled into the squad earlier. So that's also something that struck me as a surprise too. When he'd originally called the squads out, I thought, where's Nikki Carr?
I think he does change the type of the football we play a little bit as soon as he gets on.
He has a different dynamic, doesn't he? Yeah.
He does, and I don't think he plays the style of football which Pim is really looking for.
That's right.
No.
I mean, he's a passer, he's a short passer and that kind of thing, but that's not what Pim's looking for. He's looking to lock up the game from the front.
It's
and that's
the
why he
Dutch
likes Holman.
In him.
Holman
the
charges
Dutch
around pressuring
him.
The defence so the other team can't play from the back and create things from the start.
Nikki's so much nicer to watch.
But again, it's like I said just then, it's that Dutch style of play. They focus more on those long passes. They like spreading it out across the park, whereas, you know, again, Nikki's more short and sharp.
They really like pressuring up the park. They like starting the defence from the very top, and that's what Nikki doesn't do so well. He doesn't pressure from the top. It's a Cahill Holman.
He's probably a little bit ahead of where we should be at. I think as the new Socceroos come through.
Yeah, I think
we'll
merit
be
in
playing
that.
More his
what
style
the,
of game.
What other tidbits have you got for us?
What other tidbits have I got? Well, we have Lucas Neal still without a club. Now, he's coming off contract with West Ham. West Ham want to keep him, but they've offered him a new deal at reduced pay, which he wasn't keen to take. He is the captain there.
And which a player of Lucas Neal's status shouldn't really accept, to be honest. I think he's worth more than a pay reduction, that's
okay,
for sure.
He's club captain, though. West Ham did have a big financial backer that pulled out, so they don't have the money that they did when they originally signed him.
Mm-hmm.
How much does club loyalty come into this, guys? Your club captain? Is
it
there,
doesn't. I'm
is there
sorry,
ethics
it doesn't.
There to show the younger guys? What?
I'm for club loyalty.
Yeah?
I'm for club loyalty in a sense of basically if, you know, another club is chasing you and maybe they're offering you the same sort of money, then stay at your club, you know. But in terms of that, I'm thinking about what would you do in this situation, Michelle, if you are, you
but
know.
How much money is enough?
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
apparently
big
$2.5 million a season, according to his agent.
I mean, again, it was that whole debate about Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, my partner will be the first one to say that it's just ridiculous and he doesn't deserve that money. But again, there's the money in this sport for
that's
that.
Right.
And that's why these players are playing at the highest levels, because there is that kind of money.
I guess if he feels he's validated by the money.
Mm. Club loyalty doesn't come in. And it's not like he's been with them for, you know, decades or anything that. Move on, Lucas. Find somewhere where they're giving you more cash and you do your best.
But the big thing, the big word on the street is he's going to Galatasaray and joining Harry Kewell. Ooh!
Yes, that's what I did hear that.
But they're still negotiating because he wants a bit more than Galatasaray are willing to pay him. So it certainly does come down to money. Because remember when he signed for West Ham?
Of course it comes down
Liverpool
to money.
Had an offer. Liverpool had an offer on the table and he went to West Ham instead because they offered more money. Would you not prefer to go for less money to a club where you are likely to win titles?
Yes, I would do that.
Is your career winning titles? That's true. Or is it about getting as much money as you can before you retire?
But then you've got to also think about the fact that these footballers, every time they go into the pitch, Michela and Aaron, they run the risk of getting an injury and basically being ruled out for the rest of their lives. I know that club loyalty, all of that, you know, go and win your championships, but also there's that financial security that you've got to think about.
If you're playing football, you want to play at the highest level, and when you're in everybody's face and, you know, you're seen and, you know.
That's also true. That's also true.
But it seems like the Turkish love the Australians.
They are loving them, aren't they?
And I'll tell you someone who was a pioneer in this, and it was Josip Skoko. I read an article by the people over at that club that I can't pronounce, Galapagiani or whatever, and Skoko was there, and they said it all started with Skoko. We brought him over and his attitude was fantastic. Mm. We offered him all this stuff and he said, no, I don't need that. I don't need the free car or anything, that kind of thing. And he just trained so well and he was a real inspiration to the younger players. And from then on, they made it an active policy to take on Australian players. And that's why they took on Traorsi, Bruce Gitte.
Yeah. How is he doing there?
Nicky Carl they had for a little while as well. Traorsi's doing really well. In fact, so well that he's actually been bought by another club and they're having a bit of a dispute about it.
Are they tussling over him? What's the story, Aaron?
Well, from what I read in the media, and you can only take these things at face value.
Of course you can.
Is that he wrote into his contract that he had $1 million sellout clause and the other clubs just seen him have a good season and go, yep, we'll have him for $1 million and they've taken him. But the club doesn't want to sell him, so they're trying to...
Well, they would have seen how well that he'd done and thought, oh, my gosh, you know, that when they originally drew up that contract, they would have thought, oh, $1 million, you know, that's enough to cover our backs, basically, if we do decide to let him go. Yeah. But now, no, I wouldn't be wanting to let him go.
What about Gitte?
Gitte, I've heard rumours that a Croatian club, a Hajduk Split, are after him.
So he's going...
That would be a massive move. If he went over to Hajduk Split, because they're one of the best performing teams over there, and they're always in proper contention with FC Dinamo, and they're basically two of the top teams there, so that would be a massive move.
It would be a massive move. I don't know if it's going to happen. It was just a rumour, but the fact is, if there's rumours about...
We're starting the rumours.
We're fueling the rumour mill, Michelle.
If there's rumours about, at least people are talking about you, at least you're wanted. I mean, if there's no rumours about, it's because no one wants you and the press aren't interested in you. So.
Well, we're interested in Bruce Gitte, what he's doing.
Sorry, Bruce Gitte, yeah.
So we're very interested in what he's doing. So any rumours, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Send them in. We're just about out of time, guys. This half-hour show just goes so quickly.
I mean, we compare it to our two-hour slot and it's like, gosh, we could do this like, you know, the fly by the seat of our pants is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
So much football, so little time.
So we might just head back to the credits and after that we'll be back in with the local show. So thanks, guys. We've had a good show. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi, my name is May. I am 7. My favourite soccer player is Lucas Neal.
If you're going to the near post,
arrivez première.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.